Okay. My name is Frank Calhoun. I was a member of the Texas House of Representatives for four terms. First elected in 1966, and my last term expired January 1975. My district was Abilene, out in West Texas, and I currently live in Austin. After I left Abilene, after legislative service, I moved to Houston, and then came up to Austin in 1996. So I live here now.
Wonderful. Can you tell us a little bit about your background before you started working in the House and what pushed you into politics and specifically that?
I grew up in a little town just up the road here in Central Texas, and went to Texas Tech for undergraduate work, and then went to law school here at the University of Texas, and wound up with a small law firm in Abilene right out of law school. While I was in undergraduate school, I was involved in campus politics and student council and all of that, and so I've long had an interest in government and politics. I was a history major, and then went on to law school and wanted to practice law in West Texas, and Abilene just seemed to be the right place. And my wife was from Clovis, New Mexico. I'd met her at Texas Tech, and so West Texas really suited us. And once I got to Abilene, I was still involved in politics all kinds of political activities, and with candidates and election system in the county. Then in 1966, four of my friends cornered me and pointed out to me that our state representative district had been redone, the incumbent, it was an unusual district. It was a floatorial district, which had been declared illegal, but we were going ahead with the election anyway for one time. And one of the incumbents was from a rural area close to Abilene, and they presumed that he would not prevail in an election in Abilene, and they were right. So they encouraged me to run, and it did appeal to me. And I talked to my wife and talked to my law partners, and they were affirmative. They said, yes, go for it. So I did, and was elected to the House. And I enjoyed my service in the House of Representatives very much during that term, and got involved in lots of things.
Is there something in particular that you're really proud of that you did during
You know, I guess the one thing that I was proud of was down at the tail end, and that was the Constitutional Convention of 1974. As you may recall, all the House and the Senate sat as a convention to redraft our Constitution. And that really appealed to me, because our Constitution, being a lawyer, I dealt with the Constitution and all the statutes. And when you look at it, our Constitution is so long and it's so involved, and it has so much really statutory material in it that it needed to be revised. And it had existed since 1876, and it was time to redo it. And we worked 7 months during 1974, and I got very involved in that and supported our efforts. But it failed. We came three votes short of reporting a document out before the convention expired. But serving in the Constitutional Convention really gave me sort of a graduate course in our state government, because it was informative and educational for me. And I think, even though we failed to redo the Constitution, I think it was a worthy effort, and I'm very pleased with it, very proud of it.
What a wonderful time to have been serving. Would you tell us about the leadership that you had at the time and experiences with the speaker or your chairman?
Yes, the Speaker of the House, when I was elected, was Ben Barnes, and then he, of course, moved on to the Lieutenant Governor's office. And the next speaker was Gus Mutcher, and I was a team player, and I worked very closely with the Speaker's office, but Gus got in trouble. You may recall the Sharpstown scandal, where some members of the House were able to get some insurance company stock free in exchange for their votes. And there was a bill that was up and passed that would have created the equivalent of a Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation for the state banks. I thought it's a good idea. I voted for it, but I didn't know that the fix was in. And of course, Gus got in trouble over that and got indicted and was tried. But before that, I was part of a group that went and sat down with him and convinced him that he needed to resign for the good of the state and for his own good and for certainly the good of the House. And he did resign. And I was part of the group that elected Rayford Price as the next speaker. Well, unfortunately, Rayford didn't last very long. He had a re-election race going back home in his district, and he lost it. So the day after the election, when we realized that Rayford had lost the race and our speaker was going to be gone and there would be a new speaker the next session, a group of us sat down in the speaker's office, and first thing you know, I drew the black bean and was the guy who was going to have to run for speaker. Well, it was too late. It was too late to put together a campaign. And Price Daniel Jr. Had been working long and hard getting seconds, meaning if his pitch was that if Rayford Price is no longer speaker or no longer a candidate, would you vote for me for speaker? And he had more than a majority of the members of the House who said yes, they would. Well, when he called in those seconds, the race was over. I mean, he had it. So I would not even allow my name to be placed in nomination when the session began in 1973, I guess, 1973. But it got five votes anyway. So it was that was kind of fun. Yes, my first district was Haskell, Jones, and Taylor County. They were stacked on top of each other out. Taylor County is Abilene, and Jones County was Anson, and then Haskell was a county on top of that. And it was a wonderful district. I loved to go up there and visit they're farming. It's a farming community, oil and gas and farming. And they treated me very well, and I enjoyed it very much. Then it was scaled back to just Taylor County for which Abilene, and there were two of us. Grant Jones and I shared, we divided Taylor County, and he had part of it, and I had the other part. And that's the way the district remained up until I decided not to run again in 1974.
If you have any advice for freshman members, what would that advice be?
Oh, it's very simple. Read the rules, read the rules, read the rules. Understand the rules. He who has the command of the rules has power. The best thing a freshman House member can do is do everything he can to know everything he can about the rules, because that's the key.